Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday,
when Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
And you're on the Vic Police GLOW Show with
Gabby Tyack.
And Scott Davis.
And I'm Greg Atkins. So Gabby and Scott are the GLOWS. Gabby's the Northwest Region. Regional GLOW.
Northwest Metro.
Metro Regional yes. GLOW. Scotty is the manager of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Unit at Victoria Police.
You'll get it right one day. Gay and Lesbian Advisory Unit. There's no liaison in my name.
And I'm Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project. And this is the weekly show that's the partnership between Crime Stoppers, Victoria Police GLOW, the Anti-Violence Project, Joy 94.9, and you. Sharing information on how to lift discussion on violence and relate with the Victoria Police.
Which leads us very nicely into the question that we want to ask our listeners today. And that question is there a time when Victoria Police should be disclosing to the media the sexual orientation of victims of crime or offenders of crime? So we'll put that into a little bit of context a little bit later on. We'll read out a media article from late last year where that occurred. But we're interested in your views. Should or is there a time when Victoria Police should disclose the sexual orientation of victims or offenders to the media?
I think that's a really interesting question. Excellent. This is the Vic Police GLOW Show, of course.
I was just going to say, you look very tanned from attending Midsummer Carnival on Sunday.
That's right. Midsummer Carnival was absolutely fantastic on Sunday. And we had a joint stand between Victoria Police and the GLOWS. Very exciting time.
Between the Victoria Police and the AVP.
And AVP.
Yeah.
Very exciting time. Thanks very much for all your...
I was listening.
Hundreds of people coming through and saying g'day, touching bases.
People, they were.
People wanting to seek out recruitment information and perhaps join Victoria Police, which was exciting.
They were. They were asking questions about crime and what to do under certain circumstances. They were even coming just to give us a hug, which was lovely.
And have photos taken. There was even someone with a bear that travels the world and they take photos of the bear with various
people. Right,
and
yeah.
They had photos with Victoria Police GLOWS.
That's brilliant.
It was quite good.
I saw a girl, there were lots of people with dogs, and I saw one girl with a rabbit. A real rabbit.
A real rabbit. Fantastic.
Well, there's no
comment. I don't know where to take that.
Were you at Carnival? Did you see something exciting at Carnival? Did you come and drop past Victoria Police GLOWS? And did you have a bit of an insightful conversation with one of the GLOWS or one of the Anti-Violence Project people? Share that too. How about we play a little bit of music?
If we must, we should.
We must. And we'll certainly come back. Remember that question, which is?
Is there a time when Victoria Police should disclose the sexual orientation of victims of crime or offenders of a crime through the media?
Vic Police GLOW Show on Joy 94.9. This is the Vic Police GLOW Show. And that was Cher with a fabulous bit of music called I Found Someone by Cher.
We couldn't stop you bopping, could we?
Oh, awesome song. Great song here on Joy 94.9. This is the Vic Police GLOW Show, between partnership between Crime Stoppers, Vic Police, Anti-Violence Project, Joy 94.9, of course you.
Now, we've asked the question today, is there a time where it's appropriate for Victoria Police to disclose sexual orientation of, say, a victim of crime or an offender of a crime? And it's come out of a couple of newspaper articles in recent times. So I'll just read this one out. This comes from December last year, and it's in regards to a man who was jailed for stabbing and killing another man. So a student inflicted 123 stab wounds on a 63-year-old man he met through a gay dating site after asking him, did you ever think of dying, a judge said in December last year. So this happened in Melbourne. So jailing the 22-year-old offender in the Supreme Court, Justice Paul Coghlan said the student planned to use the knife to force the victim to hand over his car by force if necessary. The judge said the 22-year-old offender and the victim, who was a hairdresser working from home, met through the Gaydar website. On the day of the killing, the 22-year-old told friends he would soon be in possession of a brand new car when he went to the victim's house with a knife and a change of clothes. Justice Coghlan said the victim was and the offender were engaged in oral sex when the offender asked the victim, "Did you ever think of dying?" The victim told the offender he planned to live for many more years before the offender produced the knife. Justice Coghlan said the offender later told police he could not remember what happened next, but he found the victim with stab wounds to his torso, chest, arms, legs, back, face, neck and head. Justice Coghlan said the killer tried to take the victim's car, but he could not get it started. The offender from Hampton Park pleaded guilty to murder in North Baldwin in August 2010. Justice Coghlan said the victim impact statement from the dead man's family was very moving and illustrated how such crimes affected many people. And he sentenced the offender to a maximum term of 18 and a half years. So it really leads into this question about when is it appropriate? Is it necessary for us to understand the sex act that took place here? Is it necessary for us to understand the sexual orientation? And the article also talks about that the fact that the offender in this particular case was worried about his family from an ethnic minority background finding out that he was gay. So there's a whole lot of stuff that's built into this question. But is it ever appropriate for the police to disclose? Now, we've had one person, DJ Stewie from Nutter Wadding, he says disclosure would be appropriate if relevant to the case, i.e. sexual offences or the potential to establish motive.
Now, I reckon DJ Stewie's on the money there. What do you reckon, Gab? I think he's on the money. If it's to establish motive, was it someone, a straight person, going out and using social media like Grindr to connect with someone, or, you know, Gaydar, to connect with someone with the purpose of a straight guy out to rob, targeting someone? Or was it two gay people that happened to be together through that social media?
Certainly from a crime prevention perspective, if there was an offender targeting men through social media websites like that, and he was deliberately targeting, say, gay men, or there was somebody targeting lesbians, it would be important for us to be able to put that information out mm-hmm. to the community to be able to prevent further offences from occurring.
You can't say it, but I can say it. It's the Herald Sun principle of trying to get a nice, large media grab and putting the word gay in a headline just for the sake of putting in a headline. That just diminishes people.
That's right.
When it's associated with something that's negative and where violence has taken place, if it's not there to contribute to trying to find a perpetrator.
And for us, Greg, when we're looking at crimes like that, we have to establish what motivated a crime and was there any prejudice involved. And just because either an offender or a victim is from the LGBTIQ community doesn't mean it's a homophobic homophobic crime.
Or not a homophobic crime.
Exactly.
Now, Justin Coghlan's brief, when he brought down his judgment, didn't contain any view around prejudice or prejudice-motivation, which would have been part of his judgment. He would have actually said it had it been prejudice-motivated. So that wasn't the fact. The question there, you know, is are judges adequately trained in homophobic crime, in prejudice when it's part of crime? That's a question perhaps for another day. But in this case, it seems like the sexuality of the person once he's been found isn't relevant for media reporting. Joy 94.9, the Vic Police Glow Show. Now, we've got some Crime Stoppers today as well.
We'll do the first crime of the day, which is actually the crime of the week. On Wednesday the 26th of October last year at about 6 p.m, a man entered a bakery in Carlisle Street in Balaclava. The man attempted to purchase items before allegedly producing a large knife. He threatened the attendant before wedging the knife in the register drawer, enabling him to steal cash before fleeing the store. Now, we've released images of a man whom we believe may be able to assist us in our inquiries. And in these images, you can't clearly see his face, but there's good shots of his clothing. And there is a pretty good one of the side of his face. And he seems to have a little goatee or
facial hair.
Yeah.
Mm. Why is there facial hair in a image but not in the description? And perhaps it's irrelevant because they might shave it off anyway.
And maybe they're not certain. Maybe they think it's a shadow there or something else. So
it's possible.
Check out crimestoppers.com.au. The reference is CA5971. See what you think. This particular jacket's quite distinctive. You'll know if it's someone in your circle of friends or acquaintances. That
green flash on the inside of the hood there is very distinctive, isn't it?
Maybe you saw someone wearing that one. Well, probably not last night. It was too hot, but earlier in the week when it was colder.
Or maybe in the sales last year, you remember this is something you've had in stock. A lot of the gay community are part of retail. in the Melbourne society, Melbourne community, very strong part of retail. You might recognise this particular item as something you had on sale around about June, middle of the year last year, and this man's, or even before, and this man's wearing it. It's interesting, in retail, people remember for a long time the products that they put on sale. They actually pack on the shelves and bring it in. If you're in management, you'll know because you've gone out and bought it, or you've had someone buy it for you and pick the design. And these are distinctive clothes that people wear in offences. They try to cover up their physical form, don't they? But often that can be the key to finding out who they are by what they wear.
And Greg, you may have been in Carlisle Street in Balaclava on the 26th of October around that time, and remember this type of clothing, this man. So just get onto the website and have a look, and hopefully you can help us identify him.
And the reference again is?
It's CA5971.
Very good. On the Vic Police Glow Show.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
You're on Vic Police Glow Show with Crime Stoppers, Anti-Violence Project, Victoria Police Glows, Joy 94.9, and of course you, people that make this show actually work. And that was Naked and Sacred by Sheno Phillips. I think that's her name.
Never heard of her.
Naked and Sacred. Great song here on Joy 94.9. Now, we're posing this question. When is it okay to disclose the sexuality of a person that's potentially committed a crime?
Or has been the victim of crime. And it's come out of a report that we had in one of the local newspapers, the major newspapers, in December last year, which described a sex act between two men, and during that sex act, a murder took place. And so, as a result, disclosures of people's sexual orientation came out. So the question we're asking is that appropriate, that the sexual orientation comes out then? Is it okay for the police to make the disclosure? We had a situation last week, and we can't talk about a particular crime that occurred last week, but I'm sure most people would be aware of the one that was once again in the major newspapers, and sexual orientations were once again disclosed, or people's homosexuality were disclosed in that particular newspaper article. So is it appropriate for the police or the newspapers to be disclosing it? And so the question really is, say, from an anti-violence project perspective, Greg, how do you, when you're trawling through the media, work out whether it's something that's relevant for you to be involved in?
It's a really good question. We actually get the first, we get a first post come through around about midnight of the day's papers, and it's a trawl on words and particular range of words that over the last, I suppose, 10 years we've fine-tuned that are trigger points for violence and crime that might relate to our community.
So what sort of things are you looking at as a trigger point then?
Oh, the use of the words gay, words like park, words like bash, words like assault, words like, you know, all the range of violence words, murder and those things, but things that target back to our community around where it's linked to sexuality or gender and sexuality.
Do you work on things like, say, the location?
It can be location. I mean, if but that's usually not from that. It's when you start to drill down, you get the pointers. Mm-hmm. And, for example, whenever there's this assault that came up in Corio, which we can't talk about because it's going through court, but whenever there's an issue in Geelong is flagged, and that's flagged not so much on violence. It's flagged because in the past there's been problems with police and police attitudes in Geelong. So we keep a watch on Geelong, which I'm happy to say in more recent times hasn't dealt any media issues where there's been inappropriate police behaviour. Yep. So we keep a watch on that area because that's where in the past we've had to have more discussions and finer-tuned discussions with Victoria Police about issues.
Now, Greg, we've had another SMS come through from Wendy in Brunswick, who says that it is never appropriate to disclose someone's sexual orientation to the media. That's an interesting point of view.
That's one particular line on one end of the scale.
And I can understand that because, you know, how relevant is it actually for the media to disclose that to the community? That's very different from the police needing to know, or from those that are involved in prosecuting the case. But is it necessary for the media to know and then for it to be disclosed into a broader, the wider community? I can understand that point of view, Wendy.
Wendy, question for you. if you don't disclose it, how then do you get the message out to the rest of the community in that area? So if something happens against a lesbian in Brunswick or in Sydney Road, you know, we had one on the 15th of November, three girls were assaulted.
Yep.
If that's happened and we don't disclose that they're lesbians or their sexuality, do people have to then innately put the points together to discover that it's part of their community and they might be the ones that have the
information? I suppose the question then is, what was the motive of the offender in that particular instance in Sydney Road? Was he targeting the women because he assumed they were lesbians or because he knew they were lesbians? Or was it a case of that it was that good media headline that you were talking about earlier that it causes people to read the article in those newspapers?
Well, can I put this back on you two Glows? If we don't know, are lesbians only going to be concerned about violence against lesbians, or should they be concerned about violence against women?
Well, that brings us back to the whole issue of non-reporting. In Brunswick, we do have a problem with people not reporting homophobic crime or prejudice-motivated crime. We hear often murmurings on Twitter or on Facebook or even just through people we know about assaults that have been said to have occurred in Brunswick and they haven't been reported to police.
Well, I'm going to put it back on you, Gab. So those women in Brunswick, it's your patch, those women in Brunswick, are they not just not reporting violence against themselves, or are they not stepping up and reporting violence when they see straight women being assaulted? Or are they not reporting violence when they see anyone, whether they're gay or straight, being assaulted? Are these people, is this a problem in broad society about people not stepping up about any form of violence? Or just in lesbian
community? I have to agree. I think it's a broader issue for people. We are always talking about reporting crime on this show, contacting Crime Stoppers and reporting even something that you might have seen that might not have been a crime that you're aware of, but is suspicious behaviour. And actually, last week, a friend of mine witnessed something or actually experienced something in a local park and saw a man who was acting very suspicious in a car. And she was walking her dog in the park early on a Sunday morning. And this man drove in and he pulled his cap down very low and he slouched down in the seat of the car. And she was very nervous and so walked in the opposite direction. And once she left and some other people started coming into the park, he drove away. And when he drove past her, he looked away so she couldn't see his face. Now, there were no number plates or registration plates on that vehicle. And I encouraged her to contact Crime Stoppers and I rang the local police as well to let them know what had happened. This was a day or two later when I heard about it. But, you know, it's these little tiny snippets of information that might prevent a crime or solve a crime that's already occurred. Nothing actually happened to her, thank goodness, but it was a very scary situation and it could have escalated into something horrific. It might have been he might have simply wanted to flash her, but he might have also wanted to abduct her. You just don't know.
But that moves us back to our question. If he flashes her, is he straight? Do we make that disclosure? Do we say a heterosexual man flashed a woman in a park?
Or do we assume or do that all flashes are heterosexual just because there's more of them?
Or do we only do it when a man flashes to another man and say then a gay man has flashed to a man in a park?
Good point.
Yeah. I have to agree with DJ Stewart. I think it's important if it's relevant, and I also think it's important if we are encouraging people to be aware of what's happened or even to report that similar things happening to them. Because usually if there's one victim that we are aware of, there's also a number of others that we aren't aware of. So sometimes mentioning that it was a homophobic motivated crime, it might get the gay community looking at that article more than if it was just a crime.
Now, we have had, AVP has had on times journalists ring us up and paint a picture, paint a scenario and suggest that the person might be gay or lesbian that they're wanting to talk about in some discussion of violence or crime. And that's a really interesting discussion to start painting a picture with them about why they'd be interested in that. Where's the relevance? Show us the relevance. Let's explore that little piece. There's some ethics around this, aren't there, in media and how you represent community and individuals. If the person wasn't gay and you targeted as a gay discussion, you might inadvertently be sidetracking the whole investigation.
Yes, that's right.
Where everyone's starting to talk like it was a gay assault or gay bashing, and some straight man who had no sexuality target in his mind is off there an easy street because no one's even thinking of looking at a straight man for that crime.
Now, we will continue this discussion. We're interested in your points of view. Should the police or others identify people's sexual orientation through the media when it comes to crimes, whether they're victims of crimes or offenders of crimes.
And we've got another song. We want to thank Sam Spears for messaging in and saying he's listening to The Glow Show. For you, Sam, Brittany Spears. You're on the Vic Police Glow Show with Anti Violence Project, Victoria Police Glows, Scott and Gabby. Join 94.9, and of course the important part of this is you, with your ears, with your eyes, with your hearts and minds open to our discussions today.
So, another Crime Stoppers crime from Crime Stoppers Victoria. On Monday, 19th of September 2011, a woman was showering in the communal facilities at the St Mary's College building, part of Melbourne University in Swanson Street, Parkville. The woman looked up and allegedly saw a mobile phone being held over the top of the cubicle, pointed in her direction. The victim called out and the phone disappeared. Police released a man and it released the images of a man whom we believe may be able to assist us with our inquiries. And of course, the concern here is that he was using a surveillance device without consent in that particular instance. So you can get across to reference CA5959 to have a look at that man and help us work out whether he was involved in it or not.
And I'm sure if this is a picture of you at that reference in Crime Stoppers and you weren't doing that, you want to step forward.
Correct.
And actually clear the matter up, because it's a very distinctive picture, isn't it, Scott?
It certainly is.
And people will know once they see this.
We quite often say that, but it's so true. If you know this person, you'll see this photo and go, okay, that's Billy Bloggs or whoever it is, and we'll be able to sort it out straight away.
And if that's you and you weren't doing that, but you may even have seen the person that was about the same time, which is why your picture was taken, you will need to step up to clear yourself from this matter. Should people, I mean, that is an offence. If you're taking pictures of people in public toilets, in change rooms, in
correct
other places, that's actually an offensive
yep
thing to do.
Yep.
Before the law even looks at it, the individual would be concerned. And if there's any nudity involved and the person's not knowing about it, that's very close to a sexual offence, isn't it?
It certainly could be. I mean, in this particular case, it's used surveillance device without consent, but there may be other charges that go with it, yeah.
And then if he was to put that onto Facebook or send that to someone else, that's also the offence of something about sending pornography to someone else. I can't remember the exact name of the offence. So that's another offence as well.
Now, if police are investigating this, and say they were questioning someone, they got hold of the mobile device, they can even drill down to files that have been deleted or removed. So if the person sees, if a person sees a picture in Crime Stoppers similar to this and they go and try to remove the evidence and they get caught, the fact that they're trying to remove evidence and it's found later on actually further incriminates them. It's quite an interesting little
twist.
You'll
notice that we're not talking a great deal about some of the things that we do.
That's right. I think it's worth knowing.
We have investigative tools, let's say that.
One of the beaut parts about discussing violence and crime like this is not so much catching the person. That's a bonus. That's yep a real bonus. But it's about individuals that might be straying towards that grey area.
Mm.
And if we can encourage people to not do that because they have a sense that they're going to be get caught if they do that.
Hopefully then that's not the driver.
That's
but yes
a double bonus, isn't
that's
it?
Right. Yeah.
And this man entered a women's toilet block. So we encourage people who see any suspicious behaviour to either call the police. Well, if it's happening at that time, call 000. And if they have heard about it later on, to possibly ring Crime Stoppers with information. But, I mean, he was doing something that would have stood out to anyone who was around a man going into a women's toilet.
Yeah, and broad daylight as well.
Mm.
A bigger discussion for another time around beat activity and why men sometimes go into women's toilet blocks is another discussion for a different time and place.
I'll write that one down for next week, shall I?
Now, back to our original question.
Yes, what was our question?
Our question was, should police disclose the sexuality of people in the media?
Mm. And we can use this last one as an example. And you'll actually never see sexual orientation disclosed in any of the Crime Stopper stuff that we read out. And that's basically because by the time that the Crime Stoppers workforce get hold of the information, it's actually been diluted down quite a lot. So they'll never actually, even if it is gay-related, if we're say, talking about a prejudice-motivated crime, that won't appear in the details that come from Crime Stoppers. But it's very rare in media releases that we would put out that we would disclose someone's sexual orientation. But there obviously have been times when police have made that disclosure during media interviews and it has been subsequently been reported. So is it appropriate? In that particular case, the ones we just read out with the use surveillance device without consent, we didn't say a heterosexual man walked into a toilet block and filmed women while in the shower.
a straight woman.
Yes. Well, neither straight or gay.
Well, that's right.
We didn't say one way or other. So is it appropriate for us to disclose someone's homosexuality through the media?
And had that woman been lesbian or had she been heterosexual, is there a relevance in her sexuality in that particular story?
So if we go back to the discussion we were having before and I asked you the question about what you look for in the media to be able to determine whether you think something might be connected to the GLBTI communities, obviously having the words gay or lesbian in there help you.
It does help, and that's where sometimes you and Gab and Electra are the first ports of call. You get the SMS when you get to work in the morning saying, this thing's happening. Do you know if it's connected to our community?
Yeah, and it's quite interesting that probably about half of the ones that you send I've not picked up on myself, because I do the same as you. I'll read through the papers in the morning and I'll be looking for things that might be there. Mm. Obviously, there's times when I'll turn up to work and there's phone calls or emails or messages from investigators wanting some assistance, but other times, and we had one in a park a couple of years ago where the body was found without a head, and my instant thought was, well, unfortunately, I know that men have sex with men in parks. In this particular park, I knew that this was a beat location, so my first response was to get in touch with the homicide squad and find out if it may well have been beat related. Now, it wasn't. But one of the things that I was able to say to the investigator was, well, because there are a number of men that are there anyway, we might be able to make connections through this community for potential witnesses.
Mm.
And so it for me, there are benefits in actually having it disclosed in the media by the investigators, because it flags with me really quickly.
And then there's some degree of control about how it's disclosed in the media.
Yeah.
You know, when there's, you know, you're targeting gay press to get the gay community, or there are people that you know won't be connecting to gay community, and how do you get that message appropriately out to straight world?
And the other thing is, you know, the media article that we were talking about from December last year, it describes the 63-year-old victim as a hairdresser and as a gay man. Now, did he want that out there? Because lots of people, especially, you know, people in their 60s and above, have spent a lot of time hiding their sexual orientation. So did he really want that out in the media, even though he's now no longer living?
Well, if he was a 63-year-old person, a heterosexual hairdresser, what's that got to do with the matter of him dying?
You know, yes.
And that connotation, that connection to a person's orientation, we don't describe the heterosexual people that have misfortune come upon them, do we?
That's right. So why do we need to disclose in this situation? But then we had the situation a few years back where there were a number of Indians being targeted in the community, and that was readily reported. So is it appropriate to disclose, you know, race? Or does it get back to what DJ Stewie said right at the top of the show in his SMS, that it's only if appropriate to disclose if it's relevant to the case that's being investigated?
Now, to help you have that coffee table discussion, Dan, go and grab yourself a cup of coffee, turn Joy on, because you're about to listen to Bag It Up by Jerry Holywell. As a chance for you to have a coffee table discussion with your workmates, with your people now, should police disclose the sexuality of people in the media when they're making media reports? Have a talk amongst your workmates. Listen to Joy now. Beautiful song. Come back and share it with us. You're on the Vic Police Glow Show.
I'm going to be there.
You are going to be there on the Vic Police Glow Show or elsewhere.
I'll be at Pride March.
Oh, and so will Ken Lay, the Chief Commissioner
yes,
of Police.
That's right. New Chief
marching
Commission,
in Pride March.
Our that third voice Chief is, Commissioner.
That's Scott Davis, Manager of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Unit.
Advisory Unit.
And Gabby Tyke is also here in the studio. She's not the Gay and Lesbian Advisory Unit Manager. She's the Northwest
Metro.
Region Glow.
Yes, and I'll be at Pride March as well.
Will you be at Pride March? Come and join us. It's coming up very shortly on a Sunday.
Come and say hello. You'll know me. I'll be wearing blue, and I'll have this big name tag on that says Scott Davis.
Excellent.
Not so big.
Yeah, okay, it's not so big.
Now, not only do we want people at Pride March, but we also want someone now.
We do. Wanted. Ian John Walters, who was born on the 22nd of January 1972, and we want to know where Ian John Walters is now. He was involved in a large number of driving offences at various locations during 2011, and warrants have been issued for his arrest. If you have any information on where Ian John Walters is, you can call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au.
Now, we've been talking about whether it's appropriate for police members to disclose someone's sexual orientation, whether it's a victim or an offender. And our next last Crime Stoppers crime of the day is quite relevant
which
to this
discussion.
Which is
not set up.
Well, no, it was
amazing.
Let
me assure you, people, it's not set up.
So here we go. On the Saturday, the 17th of September last year, a 17-year-old male boarded a Craigieburn train at Flinders Street Station. A man sat next to the young person and engaged him in a brief conversation. He asked sexually explicit questions before allegedly indecently assaulting him. The victim moved away and got off the train at Broadmeadows. The offender is described as Middle Eastern appearance, 50 years old, medium build with dark hair and spoke Arabic and English. He was wearing a checked shirt under a dark jacket and dark pants. Now, we've released really, really clear images of this man, and we're hoping that if you look at the images, you'll be able to identify him for us. And the reference for this is CA6029.
Now, this is interesting because do you then pin behaviour to a sexuality? Or is it behaviour that could cross the boundaries of sexual identification orientation?
And we don't know what the actual sexual assault was. He may have tried to assault him in another way and it led to a sexual assault. And also people do things when they're under stress that they wouldn't normally do in their normal life. So do we just label this guy as being gay or do we not? How does he label himself? You know, it's one of these eternal questions, really, isn't
it? Well, 99.99% of the gay community don't go out touching people without
invitation. Exactly right.
Exactly.
In fact, far greater percentages than heterosexual men tend to do.
That's exactly right, too.
So that's very interesting, isn't it?
And touching someone of the same sex or having sex with someone of the same sex doesn't mean you're gay as well. So just because this man touched someone of the same sex doesn't mean he's a gay man and quite likely isn't a gay man.
Now, from the victim's perspective, do you reckon the discussion amongst people is that advanced that the victim would understand that it's not necessarily a gay man that's trying to fill him up?
I actually think that in some instances people can be troubled by it. You know, they start to ask questions, why was I targeted? What am I saying to the community out there about how I perceive myself and how I want to portray myself? And for some people that can be quite damaging. Mentally, for some people, this young fella may well be same-sex attracted, but not ready to disclose that yet, and this leads to a whole lot of other things as well. So it can be a really vexed question that you're asking there.
Interesting discussion. You need to get to CA6029 on the Crime Stoppers site. What do you think? Is the language they've used there appropriate? Do the police need to disclose sexuality? Or in this case, the sexuality hasn't even been inferred or pointed to. It's just sexual activity that took place where one man has inappropriately touched another younger person on a train. Does that then disclose a person's sexuality or point towards sexuality? Some would say not, I say not. Some might say yes. What do you say? 6029 on the Crime Stoppers website.
And remember,
if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Now, we've just come back from Vic Police Glow Show's Midsummer Carnival, the presence we had with the Anti-Violence Project, Victoria Police, and you coming to en masse to say hello, visit us.
Now, I unfortunately couldn't get there, so I need you to tell me what happened on Sunday.
Well, I must say, Scott, you missed some fantastic posters that the AVP put up and displayed.
Electra said the same thing.
And you'll see them. It's promoting About Face. It's actually the teaser, if you like. We went out deliberately to tease you and get your brains thinking about our concept of About Face, about homophobia, violence, about sameness, about racism in our community. Some of the really tough conversations to have within this is particularly within the gay male community. We'll have more with women and transgender folk down the path. But it was to tease it and get people thinking.
Well, it was also about body image, isn't it? What the whole thing was about, the whole display and the exhibition that's coming up in the future.
It is, and you'll be able to hear a little bit more about body image in a discussion that Alvin Tan from the Anti-Violence Project will be having with Andrew Thorpe and Luke Moon on Hide and Seek. Luke Moon's one of the co-hosts stepping up into that show, but Luke Moon's also the Laird Leatherman 2011 who's championing the Anti-Violence Project over the next 12 months.
I'm glad you said that word, don't you?
A hard word, yeah. But he's actually out there advocating on behalf of the AVP inter-community, and it's part of what he's doing for 12 months.
So tell me about the posters. What were the teasers?
The teasers were a series of five images that showed, I suppose, the components of the eyes of men.
Mm.
In a tear off above and below on a black background, where you couldn't actually see the race. You knew that there were a bit of difference amongst the five men, and when they all stacked up with each other, you can get a bit of a montage of, mm-hmm. of how community is so diverse. You couldn't quite see the body size or the shape of the, you know, what the person's like in terms of shape, whether they're hairy, whether they're fat. What you could see beneath it was an extract from some of the narrative about, you know, words they've had where they've felt diminished or impacted by other people's handling of body image or race within our community. So it was a bit of a teaser for the narrative that's
sounds very
coming
powerful.
Out through About Face, which you'll see a bit later in the year.
So can you talk about more about later in the year? What are we likely to see later in the year?
Can't tell you more just now, and that's deliberately, but you can email aboutface@antiviolence.info for your personalised invitation to the launch of About Face, which will take place.
Do I have to do that, or will you just do that automatically?
I think you should do that, Scott. aboutface@antiviolence.info. But if you want general information or support from the Antiviolence Project, you ring or you email vicavp@antiviolence.info.
Today we've been talking about, is it ever appropriate for police to disclose someone's sexual orientation to the media or through the media? And we've had one last SMS, and it says, it's anonymous, but think it's best not to label anyone, was the comment.
I think that's a marvellous way to finish the show today. It's best not to label anyone. That's a brilliant answer to our question that we posed. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Gabby.
Great
show. And we'll see you back for the Victoria Police Glow Show next Wednesday. Cheers.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.